Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We got to get to Bronny. There are two paths, potentially, for LeBron to come back to Cleveland, given Bronny James the options that are at his disposal now that he's both entered the NBA draft, but also is considering the portal as well. So we'll get some thoughts on that from Tim as well. But the Bronny James thing is interesting because I don't know if I think Bronny James is ready for the NBA, but I kind of wonder if it's curious because LeBron has kind of downplayed now this idea that he needs to play with his son on the same team. Like, that was the initial reason for them sort of tag teaming this thing together and coming up together and him coming into the NBA was that, well, wherever he goes, Bron will just follow. And he has since said, like, yeah, you know, that was my dream, but it's not necessarily Bronny's dream. So it was kind of one of those things where maybe what he wants, but not necessarily what his son wants. I don't know if everybody caught on to that either. So it's a curious situation. I wonder how much of like Bronny's pre-draft process will just be teams asking whether or not his dad will actually come to those teams. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show, but I want to go back out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Of course, he is an NBA writer for ESPN, does a tremendous job. He's constantly city to city covering this league, and we appreciate him giving a few minutes here on a Sunday. Tim, appreciate you stopping by, man. Tim Bontemps with us on the hotline. What's up, Tim?
Not too much, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Obviously, a lot going on in the city of Cleveland this weekend with the women's Final Four and all that. But the Cavs go ahead.
No, I just said no kidding. Big day today in Cleveland.
Where are you at right now? Because they send you all over. I'm not sure where you are. Are you going to get a chance to watch the game at all today?
I will definitely be watching the game today. I'm in New York. I'm going to be at Nets Kings tonight. Okay. And this afternoon, I will definitely be watching Caitlin Clark in South Carolina. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, we're looking forward to it. We'll be airing the game here on the station, so it should be a lot of fun. Certainly putting the tying a bow on what's been obviously a tremendous career and a tremendous season. The Cavs are also in action today, and there'll be some fans paying attention to that as well. I guess I'll start with just the elephant in the room question we're all kind of wondering. What do you think the real ceiling is for this Cavaliers team this season?
I mean, right now, it looks like a team that's going to lose pretty handily in the first round. And, you know, I certainly hope that Donovan Mitchell starts to look better and things start to look a little more like they did a couple months ago when the Cavs were rocking and rolling through the league. But, I mean, since the All-Star break, this has been a bottom 10 team in terms of record. Donovan Mitchell has not looked like himself in coming back. And, you know, there's a lot of concerns at the moment. And, you know, they're still 2 weeks until the playoffs start. There's time for there's time for him to start to look better. There's time for them to get some stuff sorted out. But at the same time, there's only a week left in the regular season. And for a team that's, I believe, 10-14 since the All-Star break as of now, maybe 10-15 after yesterday, you know, that's a pretty large sample size of a team that is not performing to the level that Cavs fans certainly would hope and expect it to be. And, you know, I think that's going to lead to some agita over the next couple weeks as we wait to see who Cleveland plays and how this all shakes out.
You mentioned Donovan obviously not looking like himself, and we all know that the knee is the big reason for that. He just doesn't look as explosive, can't get to the basket, all these different things. From your perspective, just what the intel that you have around the league, is there a bigger concern for that knee going into like long-term, not just beyond this season, or is it more so people just kind of think it's one of those, well, he just has to get through this year and then it'll be okay?
I mean, it's hard for me to have any real sense of what's going on in Donovan's knee. You know, I'm not there working on him every day, and I'm certainly not a doctor. But, I mean, I think what I would say in the immediate is, you know, since the All-Star break, he has mostly been out of the lineup, which has been unfortunate. And to your point, when he's been back on the court, he has not looked like the same player who was playing at a super high level for the first two-thirds of the season. So, you know, I mean, if you want to point to one single thing that's caused the Cavs to slip over the last few weeks, it's that he has not looked the same. And, like, setting aside whatever the future looks like from him from a health standpoint, because I have no idea really what to say about that. If you ask, well, what are the, you know, what is the ceiling for this group? The ceiling for this group is largely tied to, can Donovan Mitchell from the first two-thirds of the season come back? If he can, you're looking at a team that is going to be a very tough out in the first round of the playoffs, and we'll see where things go from there, depending on matchups. If that guy doesn't come back, it's probably going to be a pretty short run in the playoffs.
Tim Bontemps, ESPN, joining us on the show. You mentioned, you know, how the success of this team in the playoffs kind of hinges on him, and the knee injury for Donovan's been a big factor down the stretch here. There's been constant injuries for this team throughout the season. That's had me wondering, because all the reports indicate that Mitchell's kind of surveying how this season ends before he makes any decisions long term about staying in Cleveland, moving on, going elsewhere, looking elsewhere. Does his decision truly just come down to, like, solely whatever happens in the playoffs, that's what I'm going to do? Because I just can't help but think, like, he's sensible enough to look around and understand this year didn't go as planned. He helped recruit guys like Max Strus and George Niang. Like, he helped build this team this year. And it just ended up kind of being a dud of a season due to injuries and other factors. Is it really just going to boil down to, well, whatever happens in the playoffs, that's what's going to make up my mind?
I mean, again, these are questions that I can't necessarily answer. I mean, I think that certainly if the Cavs make the conference finals, I think that puts a different spin on their season than if they lose in the first round of the playoffs in five games like they did last year. But on the other hand, if, you know, it also depends on how this looks between now and then. I mean, if he ends up just never really getting right and they lose in the first round, I think it would be fairly easy for him to look at it and say, well, you know, I didn't really get a chance to give this a full run because when I was healthy, we looked like a, you know, team that was going to finish second in the East in the regular season, which is where I thought the Cavs were going to be a couple months ago at the All-Star break. And, you know, then I got hurt. We had a bunch of injuries, and we ended up fourth or fifth or whatever and lost in the first round. And we never really got right after that. So, you know, I would say that whenever any of these things come up as far as free agent decisions, I think the biggest thing to keep in mind is that rarely does any decision in any walk of life ever come down to one single variable. And I would say that this is another example of that. And while certainly playoff success, I'm sure, will be a part of whatever the calculus is, I would doubt that it's the only thing that he considers when looking at the state of the roster and the state of the franchise and whether it's a place he would want to be for a longer term.
That's well said. Talking with Tim Bontemps here on the hotline. If that were to play out, though, and the team falls short, losing the first round, whatever it might be, do you think other large changes could be coming? And I'm not even talking like just J.B. Bickerstaff, Because I think we all kind of have subscribed to the idea that if they fall short this year, like he's on the chopping block and probably the first thing on the chopping block. But I think more so, like, could you see this team changing things from like a roster standpoint? If they maybe get a commitment that Mitchell's going to at least see things through for a couple years, could they maybe think about moving some of the pieces around him?
Well, look, I would say that the one thing that I think is hard to argue about the situation that the Cavs find themselves in is from the moment they made the Donovan Mitchell trade, they have a bit of a roster issue from the standpoint that they have two ball dominant guards and they have two at this point still, you know, I know Evan Mobley shooting 39% from three this season. He's also taking basically 1 3 a game. So yeah. If he misses, if he misses his next five threes, his 3-point shooting would drop, you know, pretty substantially, right? So you have two non-shooting bigs, and you have two ball-dominant small guards. And that is a very difficult thing to try to square from a team-building standpoint. Now, yes, Evan Mobley is very young. Yes, he could get much better as a perimeter shooter, which changes the calculus of things a little bit. But we're now 3 years into his career, and we just haven't really seen that. So at least for now, I think you have to sort of assume that's what you're going to have there. So, yeah, I think if Donovan is there for a longer term, I do think if you're the Cavs, you do have to look at the overall roster makeup that you have and say, is this a viable long-term high-level plan to have two very ball-dominant, you know, guys who like to have the ball in their hands, guards, that because of their size, they're going to struggle on defense. And then, look, Evan and Jared are both obviously, they're the backbone of what's been a very good defense the past couple of years. But it's just very difficult in the modern league to have a lot of success when you have two non-shooters on the court most of the time, which is why, frankly, we've seen a lot of staggering of those two guys since Evan has come back from that injury, right? Because I think the Cavs have recognized that they need to have that extra shooting on the court. So, you know, it is going to be a very interesting summer, not just in Cleveland, but all over the place because, you know, obviously I understand everybody where you're at is focused on the Cavs, and understandably so, but if you look around the league, there are a lot of teams with expectations, and there are not nearly enough spots to allow for all those expectations to be met. I mean, you look at the New Orleans Pelicans, they were in fifth place in the West all year. They lose today, they'll lost five in a row, they could be in ninth by the end of the day.
Yeah.
And looking at potentially having to win two games just to make the playoffs, right? Like, up and down the West, you see all sorts of situations like that. And then you look at the East, and you've got Miami and Philly trying to get out of the play-in. You've got, you know, the Knicks and Cavs trying to build on what they did last year and get, you know, up as high as two or three. You've got everything that's gone on in Milwaukee this year. Like, there's just a lot of teams that have expectations of winning playoff series and going deep in the playoffs and making runs, and you're going to see teams not making it out of the play-in, losing in the first round, losing in the second round, and there's going to be, I think, a lot of ramifications for that across the NBA, not just in Cleveland. So that's a long-winded way of saying that whatever happens over the next month or two, for however far the Cavs go, I think it's going to be a very active summer around the NBA because generally when you see changes go on, it's when expectations are not met. And just by the nature of only one team winning the title and two making the finals and four making the conference finals and even eight making the second round, you're going to have a lot of disappointed teams in both conferences. And when that happens, you have a lot of changes. And so I am very curious to see what those changes look like.
It's really good stuff from Tim Bontemps here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All things in relation to the Cavs, especially, that I've said on these airwaves. Like, it's conversations we continue having, but you make it very poignantly. You make good points. Pivoting from the Cavs specifically, last year, you bring up the Heat and the 76ers. The Heat were a team last year that made it out of the play-in tournament all the way to the NBA Finals. Could the Sixers, you think, pull off something similar now that Joel Embiid is back?
I don't know if anybody in the East has beaten Boston, but what I would say is if I'm the Sixers and I can avoid Boston until the conference finals, I feel like I can beat everybody else. And look, the Sixers have not made the conference finals with Joel Embiid. They've lost in the second round, I believe, five times. And if they're able to make it to the conference finals, that would be a massive win for them based off how this year has gone and where they're headed. And look, they have a huge game today. They're playing in San Antonio against Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs. They've gone on a nice winning streak here since Joel came back. They've won four in a row. If they can win this game today with Embiid likely not playing since the second night of a back-to-back and he's coming off this knee injury, they have their final three games at home. They play the Pistons, the Nets, and they play the Magic in what could be a truly massive game on Friday. Game that can have big implications for Cleveland as well. But if they can win this game, I think they've got a real shot to close the season with eight straight wins. If they do that, I think they can get up to sixth, get out of the play-in, give Joel a whole week off, and then have themselves ready to go in the first round on the opposite side of the bracket from Boston. If they can do that, I like their chances of getting two series victories, getting to the conference finals, and taking a real step forward. On the other hand, they could easily find themselves sitting in eighth a week and a half from now and having to play Boston on a quick turnaround in the first round, and their season could be over very quickly. So, you know, it's gonna, they're one of these teams that their next couple months could look wildly different based off what happens over the next 7 or 8 days. You could say that about a lot of teams.
I'm glad you brought up the Celtics because I've been fascinated by them recently. I mean, you were here, Tim, the night that they blew a 20-plus point lead to Dean Wade. They've blown a couple other big leads. Do those mishaps point to a bigger problem, or is it maybe just a couple games where they had some lapses and let the game get away from them?
I think the games that they lost to Denver, I think, were more indicative of problems. No disrespect to that Cavs win that we were both at.
Yeah.
That was a very strange game. The Cavs were down, obviously down players. They're down 20 for the first.
They were fueled by the Kelsey brothers being there for whatever that was worth.
The whole thing, it was a wild. You're going to have some weird games during the season where, like you said, Dean Wade goes nuclear for a quarter and you lose, right? But my biggest issue with the Celtics is when they get in late and close situations, they have struggled the past few years. And you saw in the two games against Denver, they were both close games, both in Boston back in January and the following game after that game in Cleveland. They went to Denver on Thursday. That's part of why I was at that game. Both games were close to the final minutes. The Celtics couldn't execute the final couple minutes. And the Nuggets completely out-executed them in the final minutes, right? And I think, to me, the one team I think will beat them in the playoffs is Denver, because if they get in a game with Denver, they're going to get in the final 5 minutes, and I believe Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets are not going to make mistakes. I think the Celtics have a tendency to beat themselves in those spots. But look, Boston is like 53-4 this season when they hit more than 33% of their threes, which isn't a very high number. So,
yeah,
like, they could also just, like, shoot their way through the playoffs potentially and win. I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. But yes, if you want to point to one thing and say, I don't know if they're good enough, beyond the fact that I don't know if Jason Tatum is quite on the level of Nikola Jokic and some of these other super-duper stars that tend to be the best player in championship-winning teams, they also struggle in the clutch, and that is a question that's going to hang over them until they ultimately win 16 games this spring and win a title.
Let me get you out of here with this, Tim. And again, I appreciate your time. What are the prospects of Bronny James actually getting drafted in June?
I mean, that's a very complicated question on a lot of levels, right? Because he's obviously not a prototypical prospect in a lot of ways. Like, he's a guy that I think, you know, I've gotten him compared to Josh Hart by scouts in the past, which would obviously be a very good NBA player and a very good NBA career. Josh Hart was a four-year college player, right? So I think in general, if you look at the way Bronny's season went, from obviously him coming back from what could have been a very tragic situation last summer, to getting back on the court, that is a success. However, he did not really show the level of being a typical NBA draft pick. However, he's also not a typical NBA draft pick because his dad is LeBron James. So I think if he ends up in the draft, I would assume he probably winds up getting drafted somewhere for a variety of reasons. But personally, I think it'd be good if he goes back to school for another year and gets a whole year playing and presumably improves and puts himself in a different situation. And while I don't think he's going to become a top five pick, I think a very apt comparison to look at is what's happened with Donovan Clingan this year, the star center for Connecticut, who last year could have come out, would have been drafted, probably would have been drafted in the later part of the first round, somewhere in the 20s, decided to go back to school, has obviously had a fantastic year, I think is going to win a national championship tomorrow, and is going to be drafted somewhere in the top 5 to 7 picks in the draft. You could even say the same thing about Zach Edey, a guy who, if he came out last year, probably would have been drafted in the second round somewhere, came back to school, had a fantastic season, best player in the country, and now my colleague Jonathan Givony has him somewhere in the late lottery, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that there's definitely a path there where if he comes back and has a really good year next year, he could shoot up into the pretty high parts of the draft if things go well. But, yeah, I mean, in a vacuum, if you ask me, does he get drafted or not if he comes out this year? My guess is he ends up getting drafted somewhere. But I would say, based off how the year went, another year in school would probably be a good idea.
He's Tim Bontemps. You can follow him on X at Tim Bontemps. He, of course, is the NBA writer for ESPN. Tim, very grateful for the time, my man. I appreciate you squeezing us in today. I hope we get a chance to do it again here coming up come playoff time. Thank you.
Likewise. Thanks for having me, man.
Talk Absolutely. Soon. Yep. See you, Tim. Good stuff. Tim Bontemps, ESPN. Good stuff from him. Really good, thoughtful stuff on Bronny. Really good, thoughtful stuff on the Cavs makeup. We got a lot to talk about when we get back. Keep it locked. It's Spencer Drum with you on 92.3 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And I thought Tim Bontemps had some really, really good things to say in terms of just the makeup of this Cavs team and the changes that could be looming. And it led into a bigger, broader answer on how the changes won't only be to the Cavs, because there's all these teams. And that's, I think that's the important thing to keep in mind too, which is why I love that Tim said it. Because it's not like we go into the offseason and it's just the Cavs that are having these problems, or it's just the Cavs that have to consider trading a star player or whatever. Like, No, this is multiple teams. He brought up New Orleans and their whole situation. They were supposed to take another step this year. They didn't. Like, this is the constant battle with around the NBA. Only so many teams have a legitimate shot at the championship. When you don't, sometimes you get to a point roster wise, you got to make those tough decisions because you don't have the money to spend on free agents. And so, yeah, like you got a bunch of max players and you got to move somebody. So he laid out perfectly, like just the makeup of this Cavs team. Two ball dominant guards, and it's the same things we've all said. I said it. Lima said it. Nick has said it. Others at the JP's probably said it on the night show. Like, it's two ball dominant guards that have a hard time sort of figuring out who's going to zig when the other's going to zag. And then you got two big men who don't help you spread the floor at all because they're not shooters. I know Evan Mobley, like you mentioned, is like I felt like it was, and this isn't me putting what Tim said down. It felt like a broken record in what he was saying because I just heard it and talked about it and regurgitated it so many times myself. Like everybody's on the same page with this team. It's all the same problems. It's all the same things. It's all the same shortcomings, and it's figuring out what's the right string to pull to kind of fix it. Now, the first domino that needs to fall is, of course, Donovan Mitchell. What's he doing? Is he going to commit to you long term like Dan Gilbert suggested? Because if that's the case, then yeah, like that's after potentially firing Jamie Bickerstaff, which I think is going to happen inevitably, whether or not it's fair or unfair. And I do feel bad for JB because I really like the guy. I think he's been a better coach than people are giving credit for. I know there's some late game situations where there's questions and he does some questionable things and you're sitting there like, what the hell was that? And those are all things that he is going to have to own if they cost them games in the playoffs or whatever. Like those are all his crosses to bear if we get to that point. I also think a coach can get better at those things as time goes on. He gets more experience with them, but that's beside the point. I mean, I think what he did with this team this year through all the injuries and everything, wherever they're going to end up finishing here is going to be pretty remarkable in its own right. I think it's funny that nobody in the Eastern Conference seems to want the 2 seed. They all want to avoid the Heat like the plague. And so everyone's just kind of like not really caring. So fine, whatever. But yeah, I mean, beyond the Jamie Bickerstaff thing and whether or not he's here long term and whether or not they're firing him as soon as the team loses in the playoffs or whatever and he doesn't even get on the bus home, I think that the changes can't stop there if they're going to make that change because you got to figure out what your identity is and you can't now, like if Donovan Mitchell commits to you long term, there's going to be nothing preventing him from one day just being like, yeah, you know, I think I kind of want to force my way out. I mean, that's life in the NBA these days. These players, even if they sign the max deals, look what happened with the Nets. They thought they had KD and Kyrie for years to come, and then things went south. They break up. They end up different places entirely. Like, there's going to be nothing stopping Donovan Mitchell from eventually being like, yeah, you know, I know I committed. I want to get the money, the full guarantees, all that. But now I got to really start thinking about where I want my career to go if I want to win a championship. So I want out. They still hold all the power. He'll still hold all the power. And so you can't just run it back and be like, well, same thing, only we're not injured this year. Because you never know how it's going to play out. Like, there's going to be some serious look in the mirror moments for this front office, this team, and they're going to have to tweak some things. So I don't know, man. Like, I think people are starting to come to terms with this. I think people are, I mean, they're trying to trade Darius Garland right now if they could. Obviously, they can't. Some people have been wanting to trade Jared Allen for a couple years. I think the problem with that, and I brought this up before, is he has established himself as a true, like, important threat on this team in the pick and roll game as a rebounder defensively. He's the anchor of that group, and he does it at a higher level right now than Evan Mobley does. Not playing defense necessarily, because Evan Mobley's a great defender, but I'm saying like calling things out, being the voice of that side of the court. He's phenomenal. Like, can you afford to lose Jared Allen right now? I don't know. So, but these are all things they're going to have to consider. I think the way that Evan Mobley's playing right now, trying to shoot more threes, Tim brought up, like, he's 39% right now. That's encouraging. Does it mean that he's going to do that for his whole career, that it's he's finally figuring that out? I don't know. We don't know. Still need to see more. But, yeah, there is more than just a potential coaching change coming with this team, depending on how this goes the rest of the way. And I think those changes are just inevitable. To Tim's point, though, it's inevitable across the league. So as much as we might hate having to break this thing up, and there's some risk that comes with that because you don't know what you're going to get back, and you don't know Donovan Mitchell, if he commits to a long-term deal, is he going to see that whole deal through? So you take a chance, you take a flyer, but I think that's kind of what comes with this sport in general, is there's windows, right? And you're trying to maximize your window as long as you can. You're trying to keep it open as long as you can. And yeah, like you just got to kind of live with the results and take your shots while you have them. And if Donovan Mitchell commits at least long term for now, you know you got to go all in, and you can't just keep like twiddling your thumbs like, we'll see what happens. Darius Garland, if Mitchell doesn't commit long term, like, okay, you know you can pivot to him. So I get why that makes sense right now. Everything hinges on the decision that he's going to make. And I don't know if it all just comes down to what they do in the playoffs, because there's certain circumstances from this season. But we'll see how that plays out. And then the changes that come, they could be bigger than we even have pictured to this point. 216-474-0092. It's Spencer German with you here on The Fan. Do you think, are you open to the idea of the Cavs making bigger changes beyond even just a head coaching change this offseason, even if it includes trading some pieces or one piece or whatever of the core four? Also, when we get back, guys, he had some interesting thoughts, Tim Bontemps did, on the Bronny James situation. Is he worth a first-round draft pick for just the sheer chance that LeBron would follow suit? We'll talk about that next as well. It's Spencer German with you, 92.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So, the other big topic du jour in regards to the Cavs, kind of in regards to the Cavs because it's connected to LeBron, is this whole Bronny James thing. And early in the week, there was the report about him entering the transfer portal, which then LeBron kind of said, yeah, we haven't made any firm decisions yet. But he also, his son was also tweeting out like pictures of him in all these different uniforms at the same time. And then, of course, he got the news that he was also declaring for the draft with the option to go back to college if it doesn't really pan out the way that he thinks it would. So here's the thing. I agree with what Tim Bontemps had to say. If you missed the interview, by the way, go back. 12 o'clock, we had him on. He had some very, very thoughtful stuff to say about the Cavs, the Bronny James situation, a bunch of stuff. So you can go back and use the round feature to find that. You can also find it up on 90. Is it up on 92thefan.com, Jake? Is the Tim interview up already or no?
The Tim interview is up. Yes,
okay.
Good to roll.
You can also find the Tim Bontemps interview up at 92thefan.com as well. But the Tim basically said that the Bronny James situation is a fascinating one because he thinks there's a chance he could get drafted. He probably will get drafted at some spot if he actually goes through with entering the draft. For a multitude of reasons, and that's what's so interesting about it. There are truly a number of different reasons why you would maybe want to draft Bronny James. The chance that he develops into a better player, the fact that maybe it brings LeBron James with it, or whatever. But then on top of that, he added, and I agree, that it probably behooves him to actually go back to college and finish... not finish, but play at least another year and sort of showcase more what he can do and increase his draft stock. I agree that that's what should happen. Selfishly, though, with this being the 1 year that the Cavs have a first-round pick, I kind of am subscribing to this idea that you just draft him just to see what transpires after that. Like, if on the off chance that you draft him and LeBron decides that he's about to be a free agent, hey, you know what? Time to go back to Cleveland and finish my career there. And guys, this has been my stance from the beginning of the LeBron James retirement thing. I have constantly said, think about it. LeBron is going to do a farewell tour. We know this. He can sit there at the All-Star game and talk about, oh, I haven't decided yet. Dude, we know. We know you're doing a damn farewell tour, okay? We're not suckers. We're not that stupid. You're doing a farewell tour. If he's going to do a farewell tour, where does it make sense to do a farewell tour for LeBron James? L.A., where Kobe is still their king? Even in death, they still worship the ground that Kobe walked on. That's their guy. I mean... And rightfully so, like the guy stayed there his whole career. Well, I guess technically he got traded there from New Orleans, but whatever. He spent his career there, won all the championships. He was their Jordan. He became that level of an icon. I don't think they hold LeBron in the same esteem as they do Kobe out there. I truly don't. LA is a entertainment town. So the fact that LeBron's there, like, yeah, they like the fact that he's there and they have a team that can actually like, go to games to see one of the best to play rather than what they had before LeBron got there, which was just a disaster. But at face value, LeBron is just a cog in the machine. I don't know that he's held in the esteem as other Laker greats. I think he's even as far down the list as, like, I think Magic's probably ahead of him. I think Shaq's probably ahead of him. Kareem might be ahead of him. And this is in terms of, like, not best players in Lakers history, but I'm saying, like, in terms of how the fans rank former Lakers, or just in terms of like how they the adoration that Lakers greats get from the fan base. Also, doesn't make sense to do it in Miami because in Miami, it's still Dwayne Wade city. Like, they still love Dwayne Wade. That's their guy. Won two championships there, or three championships there. Won one without LeBron before he got there with Shaq. Like, it's D. Wade's town. That's why it's Miami. Didn't they jokingly change it to Wade County instead of Dade County? That was always the running joke. So it's two cities so far of the places he played that have other kings. That brings us to Cleveland. I don't have to revisit any of that with you guys. Like, you know better than anybody. We love LeBron here, most of us. There's still some people who are holding out they're staying in this lane of, well, I hate LeBron because he left us again, whatever. But the majority of people have come around to still love LeBron, even though he left again because he brought a championship here and delivered on his promise. Okay. This is the only place that makes sense to do a farewell tour. And so listen, if on the off chance you draft Bronny and LeBron's like, you know what? I'll go back to Cleveland and finish my career there. I think you got to do it. So if you're the Cavs and you're going through this pre-draft process, and I kind of wonder, like, is Bronny's pre-draft process just going to be him visiting teams and then being like, all right, would your dad come here or not? And if he says no, then they're like, okay, then we won't draft you. But if he says yes, he might. Then it's like, okay, we'll consider you. That's what I feel like his whole draft process is going to be, and that's how he's going to decide if he's going to go back to college or not. Now, the other wrinkle in this is he could theoretically go back to college, and there still could be a... This is a win-win for the Cavs no matter what. Because if Bronny gets drafted by the Cavs, maybe LeBron follows. Again, might be pie in the sky, but there's always a chance. If he enters the transfer portal like he's rumored to be doing, if he goes to Ohio State, now there's another lane where it could be like, okay, LeBron's coming back to Cleveland so that he can be closer to his son, go to the games on the weekends when he's not playing. So I think there's actually two paths here. The Cavs are in good shape is my overall point. They have multiple paths to potentially bringing LeBron James back to Cleveland if you want him. 216-474-0092. Let's go to Ray and Solon. You're up next. What's up, Ray?
Hey, Spence. I just wanted to kind of see what your thoughts would be on a Paul George trade.
Okay.
You know, I'm thinking like Garland and one of the bigs and maybe 2 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, listen, here's the thing, Ray. Like, I feel like all these, and I appreciate the call. I feel like all these trades nowadays, like, you got to overpay for the star players, obviously. And so I think you're probably on track with, like, I don't know if it'd have to be, well, you said one of the bigs. Like, keep you willing to move Mobley. I don't think you're moving Mobley no matter what. But yeah, like, Garland and Allen and a couple picks. It's a lot to give up for Paul George, who's 33. And I love Paul George. The first time there was rumors about Paul George coming here, I was all in on it. Like, I was like, yeah, do it. Trade Kevin Love, whatever, get him here. That would have been awesome for this Cavs team. At this point in his career, though, he can't stay healthy. He's injured a lot. He's 33. And I think, I don't know if I'd give up that much for him, even though he's still considered a star player in this league. Let's go to Mr. Buckley, reluctantly. What's up, Mr. Buckley?
Spencer, a couple things. First of all, when will the simping for LeBron James stop? It's embarrassing.
Never.
It's like a rejected girlfriend saying, maybe he'll come back. I mean, maybe he'll come back one day. Maybe if I do everything he wants, and he'll come back. Believe me, he'll come back. When he's had more success in other cities, he's left you twice. He only won one.
Okay, he didn't have more success in L.A. He's won one title in a bubble. Like, and then all the other seasons have been like hit or miss.
Look, I don't count the bubble title, but it's the same amount of titles as Cleveland. And
when is New York going to stop simping over Patrick Ewing? Like,
we're not simping over anybody. We're not simping over anybody. We're waiting.
Maybe that's part of the problem why you guys haven't won any championships in what, 4 decades? Hello.
It's 50 years, say it.
5 decades. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Man, what's it like? What's it like not winning a title?
I don't know. Ask the Yankees. But, you know, you don't want to go there with New York, Spencer. Come on. You don't want to do that.
The Yankees have won one title this century, too.
28. Okay, let's stop. Let's stop the nonsense. New York has 70 pro sports titles. Do you really want to go down that route? Let's stop that. Listen, but with the playoffs are about to start. And are you really going to go down this road with Donovan, too? Like, be smart. Be smart. He wants to go to the Knicks.
Down what road? Do the Knicks even... Mr. Buckley, we've talked about this before. Donovan. You even said that the Knicks don't even need or necessarily want Donovan Mitchell. So what?
We don't need him.
So where is he going to go?
Well, here's what I would do if I were the Knicks. The Cavs are not going to trade Donovan to the Knicks after they beat you twice in 2 years in a row in the playoffs. They're not going to do that. They're not going to trade Donovan to the Knicks flat out. The Knicks can give you 5 first-round picks for Donovan, but they're not going to take it because of their pride.
I don't even think the Knicks are going to offer that, though. They don't want Donovan Mitchell.
No, because they want Donovan and Mikal Bridges. So if you have
so what are they going to do with Jalen Brunson?
We got Brunson, Donovan, Mikal
Bridges.
You
have the same problem that we're talking about here. You have 2 undersized guards playing with each other. Like, what are we talking
Donovan's going to be a pure 2 in New York. Jason's the point guard. Jalen Brunson's the point guard. Mitchell's going to be a 2 here, a true 2. He's going to shoot the ball.
Yeah, okay. And, well, good luck with that, Mr. Buckley. I'm sorry, man. We are up against it for a break. We got to go. But if it ain't working here, it ain't going to work there. I'm here to tell you. It's the same exact problem. Two undersized guards. Make it make sense. You're going to be having the same conversations we're having. Bringing up the Yankees 28 rings, like Mr. Buckley, like, was around in the 1920s when the Yankees were winning all these damn World Series with, like, Mickey Mantle and stuff. Give me a break. Let's take a break. When we come back, off the top takes with Jake Volnick when we return on 92 to the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.